From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Stefan as well. We'll be in here with you for the next 1 hour with more information about Indonesia. Well then, buckle up because we would like to begin with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo asked regional heads to reconstruct and rehabilitate their areas after flooding. President Bashar al-Assad expressed appreciation for Russian assistance. Now the news in details. Meeting a number of heads of regions at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, President Joko Widodo wanted central and regional government to reconstruct and rehabilitate facilities and infrastructure after floods occurred in Jakarta and surrounding areas. He further said, the disaster which brought about the damage of both people's homes and public facilities has been identified. After emergency response completed, I also asked to reconstruct and rehabilitate, particularly in Banten and West Java. The government hopes that this can be done immediately for homes impacted houses of landslide and floods. I think the number of victims and the impacted homes and areas have been identified well, and this must be diversified again so that after the rain stops, it can be done by central government. I ask the homes in Bogor Regency to be relocated after the disaster. President also asked the regent and governor of West Java to decide the location, and it is not far from the existing areas in order to be determined soon.
Sehingga segera kita putuskan dan juga Pak Gubernur Jawa Barat agar nanti ini bisa dipastikan segera bisa kita selesaikan.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo also asked relocation for impacted homes of disaster in Banten province. He said the decision of relocation homes must be quickly done because some location cannot be used to be location for people's housing. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad received a visit from Russian President Vladimir Putin in Damascus on Tuesday. The visit was carried out to hear military reports about the situation in various regions of Syria, which are projected to be potential places of conflict, following tensions between the United States and Iran. In his remarks, President Assad expressed his appreciation for Russia's assistance in the fight against terrorism and the restoration of a peaceful life in Syria. I congratulate the great achievements that have been realized over the past few years, helping the Syrian Arab military in the war against terrorism. Unsurprisingly, Russia had also succeeded in fighting Nazi terrorism a few decades ago and won the war. You have saved the world, including Europe. Today we face similar terrorism, but the context is different. We must continue the war that is occurring in Syria so that we can also save the world from the threat of terrorism. Meanwhile, President Vladimir Putin conveyed Russia's commitment to help in restoring Syria and guaranteeing the country's territorial integrity. In addition, he also delivered a Christmas greeting coinciding with the Orthodox Christmas every January 7th to Russian troops serving in Syria. In the next 5 years, economic diplomacy will be strengthened through a special assignment given by President Joko Widodo to Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Mahendra Siregar, as well as concrete assignment to Indonesian representative in other countries. However, several challenges are still predicted to come in the way of Indonesia's efforts to strengthen economic diplomacy, including the increasing level of rivalry and competition, protectionisms, and populism. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, as delivering the 2020 annual Minister of Foreign Affairs statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, explained that this negative trend must be transformed into positive energy. Pessimism in the world must be changed into optimism. It is important to transform rivalry into cooperation. The trust deficit must be replaced by strategic trust. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Government of Papua New Guinea, PNG, asked Indonesia through Papua Provincial's government to hold border trade festival in the border of the two countries. As reported by Antara News Agencies, Head of Border Bureau and Foreign Cooperation of Papua Provincial's government, Susana Wanggai, said in Jayapura on Wednesday. It is true that PNG asked Indonesia to hold again the festival in the border as it was done in 2017. She also explained that the request was conveyed because Border Trade Festival also becomes an event for entrepreneurs from PNG to observe the business opportunity, particularly in cooperation with Papuan entrepreneurs in a bid to supply commodities to the country. Besides, the festival also becomes a facility for entrepreneurs of PNG to promote its commodities. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in her annual press statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, as quoted by Antara News Agency, explained that the government of Indonesia will firmly continue its diplomacy of defending Palestine in international forums through 2020. She also said that Indonesia is aware that the road which Indonesia will face would be steep and not easy to run into. Yet the efforts to support Palestine will never be down. She also affirmed that besides zero tariffs of some Palestinian products, two commodities, dates and virgin olive oil, to enter Indonesia have also been already duty-free. In addition, the government will also continue the construction of an Indonesian hospital in Hebron and school in Ramallah, extensions of hospital building in Gaza, training of unconventional water treatment, as well as building capacity for Palestine policies, notably related to the country's memberships in Interpol. The Ukrainian Boeing 737-800 went down just minutes after taking off from Tehran's airport, leaving no survivors. Under global aviation rules, Iran has the right to lead the investigation, but manufacturers are typically involved. An expert says few countries are capable of analyzing black boxes. As quoted by BBC.com, the crash came at a time of high tension between Iran and the US, and just hours after Iran carried out a missile strike on two air bases housing US forces in Iraq. There is no evidence that two events are linked. Normally, the US National Transportation Safety Board would have a role to play in any international investigation involving US-made Boeings, but the board must act with permission and in accordance with legislation of the foreign country concerned. In comments published by Iran's conservative Mehr News Agency, head of Iran's Civil Aviation Organization CAO, Ali Abedzadeh, said that his side will not give the black box to the manufacturer and the Americans. He also affirmed that this accident will be investigated by Iran's aviation organization, but the Ukrainians can also be present. More than 24 million passengers serve at the Igusti Ngurah Rai Airport in Bali throughout the year of 2019, indicating an increase of 390,000 passengers or 2% compared to the same period in 2018. Escorted by Antara News Agency, General Manager of PT Angkasa Pura I of Igusti Ngurah Rai Airport, Heri Ayesikado, pointed out on Wednesday that PT Angkasa Pura I is very grateful to have achievement in comparison last year, even exceeding the number of, because when many other airports have been decreased the number of passengers and the airport records still show a positive trend throughout 2019. Based on the data from the air traffic for the 2019 operational year, there were also 155,000 aircraft movements in and out of Bali via air routes. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary. Today's commentary is titled 4.0 Technology Implementation in Agricultural Industry Needs Government's Full Support. To increase agriculture production in Indonesia requires technology, especially for quality and competitiveness. Agriculture sector must use the 4.0 technologies. As an agrarian country, which most population working in agricultural sector, with third biggest contribution towards the gross domestic product, right after manufacturing and trade, according to the Central Statistics Agency in 2019, Indonesia is timely to apply the 4.0 technologies in agriculture. The aim is to increase quality and quantity, as well as resource usage efficiency. The use of 4.0 technologies in agriculture includes artificial intelligence, robot, Internet of Things, drone, blockchain, and analytic big data to produce superior precision, efficient, and sustainable product. Then, there is the question. How far is the 4.0 technology implementation in Indonesian agricultural sector? Indonesian government keeps encouraging the use of 4.0 technologies in agriculture. Several innovations such as Smart Greenhouse app had been created and developed by the government through Agriculture Ministry. This app uses Internet of Things or IoT principles. With this innovation, every activity that affects plant growth is controlled online by using artificial intelligence. There is also Smart Irrigation System, which also uses AI-based IoT. This innovation is applied through underground irrigation for dry lands. It controls soil moisture with artificial intelligence so that the land is not dry anymore and it becomes moist adjusted to the plant's need. Another innovation that is the use of autonomous technology on automatic tractor. With AI in it, the farmer can control tractor working pattern intelligently. Therefore, they can control the machine without entering the field. However, there are still several challenges in implementing or applying the 4.0 technologies for agriculture in Indonesia. One of them is access to technology. Well, the technology is available in Indonesia, but the farmers, especially the conventional ones in rural areas, are financially limited. Advanced technology devices are obviously not cheap. And to overcome technology literacy issue, the government needs to provide proper education for conventional farmers. Besides that, intensive guidance is also needed through training and information centers. And listener, that was commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on January 9, 1960. Construction of Aswan Dam was begun in Egypt. Aswan Dam is a major construction project of Egypt after revolution in 1952. The dam located in Aswan, Egypt, began to be constructed on January 9, 1960. The dam consists of Aswan High Dam, which is the new one which blocks river at the point, and the old Aswan Dam or Aswan Low Dam. Without being blocked, Nile River is flooding annually during summer because water from East Africa flows entering the river. The goals of the project are to cope with the river flood in a bid to create electricity power and to supply irrigation water for agriculture. Next event is that in 1913, Richard Nixon was born. Richard Nixon was born in California, United States of America, on January 9, 1913. He was the 37th U.S. president who officiated starting from 1969 until 1974. One thing which was the most remembered in the Nixon's government was Watergate scandal in 1973. It forced Nixon to face impeachment by the U.S. parliamentary. He decided to resign in August 1974. last event is that in 2005, when Mahmoud Abbas was elected as Palestinian president. Mahmoud Abbas was elected as president for Palestinian National Authority on January 9, 2005. He was grown up in Safed. In late 1950s, he got acquainted with Yasser Arafat. Along with him and five Palestinians, they established Fatah organization in Kuwait. This was for the first time for Abbas to enter political world. This Fatah organization was later to be one faction in the Palestinian government, and in 2004, Yasser Arafat passed away and Abbas got the opportunity to serve the peak position of Palestinian government. He was elected by acclamation as chairman of PLO on November 11, 2004. Then Abbas was nominated by Fatah to be candidate in presidential election of Palestine, which was held on January 9, 2005. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Sedang mencoba buramkan dunia nyata. seringkali terlupakan oleh manusia.
You are still with us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. Next, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Ministry of Environment and Forestry appreciates rapid reaction forestry police unit in handling threat of forest ecosystem crime. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry appreciates many efforts made by the Rapid Reaction Forestry Police Unit, or SBORC or SPORC, in tackling the threat of crime against the forest area ecosystem. Deputy Minister of Environment and Forestry, Alwi Dohong, in his remark when celebrating the 14th SPORC Day at the Ministry Building in Jakarta Monday, greatly appreciated all the work that SPORC has done in dealing with various threats of crime to the integrity of the forest area's ecosystem so far. SPORC is a fast response and responsive forestry police unit that helps restore the security of forest area and law enforcement. The Rapid Reaction Forestry Police Unit, SPORC, was formed on January 4, 2006 and currently supported by 657 personnel spread in 16 brigades from Medan to Papua. Alwi Dohong revealed that at least 441 illegal logging operations were successfully cracked down by securing nearly 35,000 cubic meters of illegal timber. Although many works have been done, SPORC must continue to maintain and increase its hard work so that public expectations and trust to the Ministry of Environment and Forestry can also increase. Meanwhile, Director General of Law Enforcement Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Rasio Rido Sani, added, despite dealing with a variety of limitations, SPORC continue to show high loyalty dedication. According to Rido, in the future, there will be reinforcement to SPORC members through various types of education and training, such as handling animals, taking DNA samples, and investigating, as well as mental strengthening at military and police education centers. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Bila harus kehilangan diri.
Now we would like to bring you across Indonesia to find out more information about our travel destinations or even our interesting culture. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you about Rengganis crater in Bandung, West Java. Bandung, the capital city of West Java, becomes a favorite place of Jakartans and foreign tourists for holiday because the city is located near Jakarta. From various tourism objects in Bandung, the tourism area at Ciwidey becomes favorite tourism destination. Ciwidey sub-district, Bandung Regency, has a complete tourism object, taking from cultural and historical sites and also natural tourism. One of its natural tourism called Rengganis Crater, which interesting to visit. At Rengganis Crater, you can take picture or soaking in sulfur water. Rengganis Crater is a natural crater which was formed from natural process of million years ago. Earlier, the crater, named Cibuni Crater, because it is located at Cibuni Village. This tourism object is located at tea plantation area belonging to PT Perkubunan Nusantara 8, rightly at Cibuni Hamlet, Patingan Village, Ranca Bali, Bandung Regency. From Bandung City, it takes around 1.5 hours to Rengganis Crater. To enter this tourism object, you must park your vehicle and then you walk around 10 to 15 minutes. The entrance ticket is around 20,000 rupiah per person. Soaking becomes the main activity at Rengganis Crater. At the fountain, you can play water under green shady trees around the location. Above the fountain, there is a white pool with warm water contains of sulfur and mud, which can treat skin diseases. Those who want to treat their skin will intentionally smear their bodies with the mud. To move from one location to another, you can pass a wooden bridge. You can also use the wooden bridge for photo spot. Interestingly, there is smoking stone at this tourism object, which was formed from Mount Sunda Purba eruption in million years ago. If you are at the smoke stone's location, please do not miss the chance to take picture with white thick smoke behind the limestone as the background. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Rengganis Crater in Bandung, West Java. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. You are still with us in English Service from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, you will be listening to interesting information related to Indonesia. Miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's Citizen, we present you information on Garuda becomes the most punctual airlines in the world. On January 3, 2020, data analysis of official airlines guide launched Punctuality League 2020. The guide mentions that Indonesian national airlines Garuda Indonesia is the most punctual airlines in the world, and Aeroflot is the most punctual airlines in Europe. Meanwhile, Sheremetyevo International Airport is the most punctual airport in the world. Airlines from Asia Pacific dominated global rank with 9 of 20 the most punctual airlines in the world. Garuda Indonesia occupies the top spot globally and regionally with on-time performance review, which impressed 95.01%. Meanwhile, SkyMart Airlines 90.12% ranked in the top 3 in the global airlines and low carrier categories. Meanwhile, Director of Operation of Garuda Indonesia, Captain Tumpal M. Hutapea, said that the achievement as the most punctual airlines in the world is a concrete commitment and cannot be separated from efforts of all of operation service lines. He considers that Garuda Indonesia give the best service for service users by prioritizing aspects of punctuality. Official Airlines Guide announced the winner of punctuality by noting 57.5 million flights. It used the full year data of 2019 based on categories. The category is based on hypothesis. The bigger the airport is, the busier the airline is, and the farther the distance is, the more challenges must be faced. Thus, the OAG considers this when assessing the performance of airlines and airports. The OGA is a leading global travel data provider that has strengthened the growth and innovation of the air travel ecosystem since 1929. It also releases the annual Punctuality League 2020 results. In the most timely industry ranking, or OTP, for the world's largest airlines and airport. That was Miscellany. Thanks for listening.
Diriku ingin ku tahu arti hidupku, hanya dirimu yang melengkapiku. Oh,
kaulah nafasku. Dirimu, kaulah yang terindah di hidupku. Air matamu lemahkan hatiku yang ada untukmu. Inilah duniaku untuk bersamamu. Dan walau waktu berjalan, aku kan terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu. Dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Sampingmu sepanjang hidupku. Rasa ini hanya ada saat bersamamu. Bahagiaku dengar canda tawamu. Terangi hatiku. Inilah duniaku untuk bersamamu. Jalan, ku kan terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu. Dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu.
So here's the last thing that we would like to give to you. It is information about a song from Indonesia. Next, Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song to you by Kus Plus entitled Buat Apa Susah. Kus Plus, an Indonesian music group formed in 1969. However, the group was famous in the 1970s. Kus Plus is regarded as a pioneer of pop and rock and roll music in Indonesia. Many of their works became hits. One of them is the song Buat Apa Susah. This song advises us, be always happy, so that many difficulties and sadness will feel easier and lighter. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Buat Apa Susah by Kus Plus. Enjoy the song.
Tak berguna, kau bersedih.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia. Indonesia.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us since this, well, almost 1 hour ago. We have been presenting you so many things, the news, commentary, Indonesian Wonder, and many more. And if you are delighted with what we have been preparing or giving to you, or maybe you wanted something else, please send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, or Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, I'm Stephen as well, is thanking you for listening. Stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.